Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Ah, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
We're turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and our theme today is sustainability. Each of my guests is an expert in his or her field and will be discussing sustaining in that field. My first guest believes that businesses need to become more responsible towards their customers and the world. We'll look at the challenges and the opportunities of being responsible from her book, The Responsible Business. My second guest is a motivational speaker and founder of Full Potential Academy. He'll help us to create conditions that will sustain powerful routines for boosting lifestyle, cutting our costs, and living on purpose from his book, Unleash Your Full Potential. My third guest is an attorney and a legal expert on the consequences of children face when they make mistakes. We'll discuss the growing phenomenon of sexting and look at the implications that it poses for children and for the rest of their lives from his book, Ignorance is No Defense. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Carol Sanford is on a mission to create a better world, and she believes that business can and will play a major role in accompanying and accomplishing that. She says responsibility will be the DNA of the businesses, and everyone will participate to make a real difference. Carol has been leading major consulting change efforts in both Fortune 500 and new economy businesses for the last 30 years. Carol is a judge and mentor for the University of Washington Global Business Center Social Entrepreneur Competition up in Seattle, Washington. She is the author of The Responsible Business, Reimagining Sustainability and Success. Carol holds an undergraduate degree from UC Berkeley in economics and in public law, and a graduate degree from California State University San Jose in urban planning. She's joining us from Seattle. Hi, Carol. How are you today?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much for being my special guest, and we've been doing a lot on business responsibility lately, particularly since the downturn of the economy back in 2007. And so right at the intersection of the financial meltdown and this new green mandate, you suggest that there is a new business model forming, that companies are moving from giving back to giving as they do business, moving from sort of having a department of corporate responsibility towards the corporation as a whole being more responsibility. How and why did we come to this point in business evolution?
Well, you know, I think that every business owner I have ever known, and I work with CEOs of the top Fortune 10 down to people who are starting up, if you said to them, do you think it's okay to be responsible for some parts of your business and irresponsible in others, they would look at me aghast. And so there's really never been a time when anyone wanted to be irresponsible. I think that what happened is we got so many things between us and the customers and between us and consumers that we really lost how to do it. The way we're coming back to that is much more of an education, openness, and engagement with people. Let me give you a quick example.
Sure.
Chad Holliday, because you mentioned the financial crisis, Chad Holliday, who I met when he was, I think he was about 28 years old, and DuPont, who was just a supervisor, eventually became chairman, president, and CEO of DuPont. He decided that investors, particularly his board and shareholders in his company, DuPont, could not actually understand what was going on, and so they were not making or supporting him in making the decisions he thought was responsible. It wasn't they didn't want to, they didn't know. So he created a series of advisory boards, which would have terrified many folks because they had everything from priests out of Mexico to Greenpeace, all of whom were on these and were given complete exposure to the company. They came to board meetings and advised them on the effect that decisions were having. It fundamentally changed DuPont's position and image of what it was that you could do. He now has just moved over a few months ago to be chairman of the board of Bank of America. And so I think it's moving in that direction, but a lot of it is that there's just not the knowledge and education we assume is in the minds of people.
All right, my guest is Carol Sanford, author of the book, The Responsible Business, Reimagining Sustainability and Success. And Carol, in that answer was very revealing because the DuPont example is a great one. When the chairman, then chairman of the board, realized that the shareholders didn't understand what it was that that they were involved in, what they were investing in. But the reality is, as a CEO of any corporation, your number one duty is to your shareholders. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's an investment. It's all about money. So a lot of people have heard this new term percolating up called the triple bottom line in business, which is people, profits, and planet. You suggest that there's a quintuple bottom line, and it's so important the order in which you suggest it. They are the co-creators, the customers, the community, the earth, and lastly, profit, something that you call the pentad. So explain to me, first of all, and to my listeners, what is the pentad, and why are more aspects to be considered than just people, profit, and planet?
Well, the pentad is just a Greek word, but it means for something specific, which is a dynamic living five. It means that something happens and requires all five to make it work. What I discovered with the almost 35 years now that I've been working with corporations is that if you don't start with clearly remembering that you are in business because you're serving a unique market, a unique set of customers, and you need to enrich their lives or you will have nothing back to the, quote, bottom line. So you have to start there. But secondly, you have to bring everyone who is a part of producing that, I call them the co-creators, into understanding the lives of the people who are the entry point of the pentad. They are the customer, the consumer. When they get really connected and they are released, the power they have is released and they're educated in a way that they can really enrich the lives, suddenly the workforce becomes different, as do the suppliers, because we've worked for years with blurring the line between something called suppliers and employees by calling them co-creators and connecting them to the customer. You do that by using earth materials. Earth invests. Communities invest. So those two, if you just charter with the guidelines of the business, is that it is to be done ethically, it is to be done in a way that returns to the earth and communities, the investor will get. And there is now so much research showing that if you go after the investor and try and get them money and therefore keep cutting the bottom line, you're going to reverse the pentad I just talked about. You're going to make communities mad at you. They'll sue you. You'll degrade the earth. Employees become a cost of doing business. And ultimately, consumers become skeptical. So I'm talking about something incredibly practical that actually does serve shareholders at a higher level of value.
All right, my guest is Carol Sanford. And Carol, let me just ask and delve a little bit farther into this, because what you say holds true for a company like DuPont, which is making all kinds of industrial products as well as some consumer products, but none of them are a monopoly. Let's take a little bit more difficult example, and that would be oil. You've got the seven major oil companies that are out there, ExxonMobil, Chevron here in California, BP, which has become infamous in the Gulf of Mexico because of the spill last year. Let's talk about it there, because oil is nothing but extraction from the earth, processing it, refining it, turning it into a variety of products, but much of it goes into gasoline, which then gets consumed by cars, which pollutes the environment and so forth. And yet, here in Southern California, we can't live without our cars to go anywhere. So talk to me about the pentad here, because ultimately, you're dealing with virtual monopoly, or at least an oligopoly situation with the oil companies, and a process that is incredibly polluting to the planet.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm going to give you an even worse case of monopoly.
Oh, no.
I am working in the Middle East with 20 Arab nations, including Saudi Arabia. Now, that is more of a monopoly than any of the ones that you just listed. And yet the conversation that they are bringing me in to have is, how is it we really begin to understand how we move to what I'm calling a value-adding process, so that we are not actually just extracting, but we're understanding the essence of oil itself. If you really understand the essence of oil, you understand that it has durability beyond anything we ever thought possible, which is why it ends up staying forever in a bag, in a landfill, or in the air in terms of pollutants. What we're looking at now, though, because they know things have to change, they just aren't talking about it in a big, loud way. They know that they have to change or else the source that they have is not going to keep working and they're not going to have the support of people. So some of that's coming from public pressure, and as Chad Holliday is fond of saying, there is a place for regulation. And regulation comes when we know that it's the right thing to do, but no one's going to move there because it's a competitive disadvantage. And so he has, over the years, pulled together groups who support regulation because they all want to go there, and it levels the competitive field for the investment that has to be made. I think we have to look at it with this kind of wisdom, how it is we combine these things, not to mention that we have to do a whole lot of consumer education.
Well, education is the key. My guest is Carol Sanford, author of the book, The Responsible Business. Carol, I'm going to change directions just a little bit because you write in your book something that sounds heretical here. You write that hierarchical management, the cornerstone of the 20th century management practice, is irresponsible. How so?
Well, if you walk through all the companies that I do and you look at the number of people who are at the, quote, bottom of the organization, many of them are running private small businesses. Some of them are mayors of towns. They're ministers on weekends. They're absolutely amazing people and are capable of doing far more often than the people who are supervising them because they're touching what's happening every day. But you don't just do the community, the involvement processes like people talk about. You have to pretty significantly change what you hold as a philosophy of management. And I believe that is much more of self-organizing teams. But instead of self-organizing around lines, which most people advocate, we've organized around markets. So in Colgate-Palmolive Europe, we organized teams who were at a cross-functional, multi-level, from top to bottom of the organization, around some groups around something like the big box stores and how it is you really serve them, others around mom and pop, and tell them to make those people successful, become their R&D department, become their strategy department. When you get people operating that way, you bring to life and you also place a demand on them to grow. And the success that has come for the companies that have done that, rather than hanging on to pushing information from the top down, is now again pretty well documented. But just in case, I threw in a bunch of stories. My book is mostly stories about the success of how these companies have done this, getting rid of the hierarchy and moving toward much more of a self-organizing process.
All right. We're talking about being a responsible business with Carol Sanford. Carol, a lot of companies, it was very, very much in vogue even 5 years ago to have a corporate responsibility department or a corporate responsibility initiative, something along those lines. How is your process fundamentally different from just setting up a department within a company and saying, okay, now we're corporately responsible?
Well, one of the reasons I wrote this book is I've been working with companies for 35 years, and we never had a sustainability program, never had a corporate responsibility program. We just had everyone asking the question, how do we do this in a way we take care of all those stakeholders? What's happened is people have pulled it into a specific department. It's the same way if you think about advertising or marketing or sales, everybody thinks that's the department's job. But in all of these situations, we also made sales everybody's job and marketing everybody's job. And I have heard a few CSR officers who say they understand their job is to build a capability across the organization to do that. But most of them get chartered with doing it for the company, writing the report, finding the best practices, building the supply chain. And so it, again, just like I said earlier in your first question, why have people become less responsible? It's because they're no longer connected to it, something real and alive with their job. So what I want is to reconnect every individual 100% every day in every task back to those five stakeholders, because it is what makes the business successful and for it to really get the return that the investors need. And all five of those we talked about are investors.
All right. But, Carol, it begs the bigger question. And can becoming a responsible business be something that started in the middle of an organization, or does it have to be top-down mandated that we are going to be a corporately responsible business?
You know, that's a great question. I believe that in every individual unique person's being, they have a desire to be responsible. They don't like it when they're asked to do something that they know doesn't make sense. And I have seen people rise up and bring change. But it's very difficult unless it becomes a culture that is pervasively supported for it to really, really take off and provide the return that can bring. Otherwise, it ends up kind of being patting people on the head and saying, love this recycling program you did. That's really great that, you know, you're counting energy and helping cut energy costs and replacing light bulbs. That's not really in the DNA of a business. So I don't think it becomes the DNA unless it's built into the strategy and it is not only authorized but fostered and developed in every person there.
My guest is Carol Sanford. We're talking about her book, The Responsible Business, and what it means to be a responsible business. Carol, why did you write the book and why did you write it now of all times?
Well, I wrote it because I mean, as I said, I'd never used the term responsibility, sustainability, and I first thought, well, those are kind of nice when I heard it coming up, but then I saw what I call everything going, the train going the wrong direction, which was this idea of making it programmatic, making the measures all internal. I saw it really beginning to do things that I felt like were partial and not allowing everyone who was in the business to really connect to the market, to the customer, to real life, and they weren't really actually understanding what it took to pull it off. So this book is a strong how-to book with 100 stories from people who have actually made it the DNA of the business. And I felt like suddenly it's off the ground and running. If I didn't get something out there, I wasn't going to be able to keep having the conversation about let's don't do the sustainability the way we're talking about it. Let's do it in a way that it is whole and it is built on building a great business that you do responsibly.
That is great. My guest has been Carol Sanford, author of the book, The Responsible Business, Reimagining Sustainability and Success. Carol, you've given us a lot of information. If people like what they hear from you, they like the sound of your voice, where would you direct them to go on the Internet to learn more?
Go to my website, carolsanford.com, CarolSanford.com, and there you will find not only lots more about the book, but lots of free additional information and additional stories.
Oh, that is great. CarolSanford.com. Carol, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.